Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. Another hour you get to listen to me cough. I apologize again. I want to talk about behavioral problems with kids that are just starting school. Maybe they're in school, but there's issues, and they have problems, a lot of problems fitting in. They have a lot of problems sitting still. They have a lot of problems with all the social graces. Most of them are labeled autistic, ADHD, ODD. I mean, there's so many names for all the different situations that it's hard to really pinpoint the real issue. We've talked about this a lot on the show, but I have a great-grandchild who is really, really difficult to manage. As in a lot of these cases of things that I've watched on TV, things that I've read about, for some reason these children are always, not always, but more often than not, big and strong. On top of the fact that they're difficult to manage, sometimes moms can't control them at all. I was with this five-year-old. He'll be six August or October 1st. He was born with lots of physical issues, bilateral club feet, holes in his heart, all kinds of different names for different things that were not up to par when they finally started doing real physicals on him and finding out all the different issues he was having so that they could do the surgeries to prepare him to be able to walk, which he can now. I mean, he still has some foot deformity, but he can walk and run, and he's tough as nails. But I spent about an hour with him, his older sister, who's 10, and his mom at the doctor's the other day. It was something out of a documentary that I've watched on TV. The only one that could calm him was me. And the only reason I think I can is because I have that kind of patience. But, I mean, he's ripping the paper off of the bed that he's got to sit in. They tell him that they're going to give him a shot, and he tries to choke his sister. I mean, I've never seen him that bad, never. And I've spent quite a bit of time with this child. So he's getting ready to go to school. They're not going to let him stay unless he gets put on some kind of drug. No. In my untrained but much experienced head, I'm thinking to myself, you're just gonna design a drug addict of the future, because that's what I've seen happen time after time after time after time. So this is what we're going to talk about today, and it's very sensitive, and everybody has an opinion, which is good because that's how we learn. Shelly is first on my dashboard. Let me bring her in. Good morning, honey. How are you?
Good morning, Shelly. Good morning, everybody. Doing good.
That's good. Shelly's birthday was yesterday, everybody. Happy birthday again, my dear. Happy birthday. let me bring in Monica. Good morning, Miss Monica. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? Hi, Shelly.
Hi, Monica.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah. I still have this wonderful cough that's become a part of my existence, but other than that, I'm pretty good. So this week was a real eye-opener, girls.
Yeah.
What?
Well, no, because you were wishing me happy. Not this topic. What happened was when my sister was leaving for work this morning, she goes, "Oh my God, we're twins for the next 6 weeks," because I turn 61, and my sister doesn't turn 62 until September. So now for the next 6 weeks, we're the same age, and we love messing with people because we tell them we're sisters. You know, real sisters, not half sisters or, you know, or anything like that. And we're the same age, but we're not twins. And people never figure out that you're just less than, you know, 12 months apart. We're like 10 months and 20 days apart or something like that. But it's, yeah, so for the next 6 weeks, we're the same age.
Yeah, that's my Crystal and Joshy. They're Irish twins, too. They're within that amount of time, something like 10 months apart. So, yeah. So I go to the doctors this week, girls, with Alan, Bubby, we call him. And I'm prepared because I know who he can be. But usually when he's around me, if he's just around me, he does pretty good. He does pretty good. And but being with his mom brings out the absolute worst in him. So I was like shredded when I said, I got to go. I mean, you know, they were getting ready to give him the shots, and I thought, oh, God, no, I'll have to lay on top of him or something because that's the only way you can control him. And I said, that's not my job. I'm leaving. So I did. But it gave me such a worrisome day. Because here's the real truth of these men, and there's lots of kids like him, lots and lots of kids. You read about him every day. We watch documentaries every day. The three of us have talked about this dozens of times on the show. So here's the choice: drug him or dismiss him. There's your choices. Let mom homeschool him to the best of her ability, or put him on drugs. That's all they're offering, Michelle. I'm not saying that's not everything that's out there, but that's all the system is offering you.
That's all the system offers, right. And that's the tragedy of our medical system in the United States, because they don't embrace anything holistic. They don't embrace true healing remedies that not just restore the patient, but that restore the family around the patient. It's not just the person that's suffering, whether it's a child or an adult. It's the whole family that suffers when you have somebody that's either mentally or physically challenged or ill or has a disorder or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not just that person that suffers. It's everybody in their circle that suffers. And that's why the holistic approach doesn't just look to the individual. It looks to the whole dynamic, the energy, everything else. Something you just said impresses me is that, like, when Bubby's around you, he's calmer, and that's because of your energy. Your energy is very controlled and calm, and so people that are around you pick up on that. There's something called resonating, and if anybody who goes on the HeartMath website, it's called Heart, like the muscle, your heart muscle, H-E-A-R-T, heartmath.com, and they talk about that. They talk about that people that can maintain their heart coherence, it's called flexible coherence, where it goes up and down in response to situations, are healthier than people that get a heart coherence that's stuck, where it's like in one place and it never moves, because then you're either, your heart function is either too low or too high for what the situation called for. But one of the things they talk about is resonance. So that if you are very angry or upset, your heart beats in a particular way. And other people can resonate to that and feel disoriented, then can also all of a sudden feel angry or upset on their own when they weren't, because they're resonating to your heart energy. But in the same token, if you're a very controlled, calm person, you can also get people that are angry or anxious to resonate to you if your heart coherence is stronger and more consistent. And they talk about how to protect yourself against people taking you out of your own heart coherence, you know, being able to maintain yourself so that you make people resonate to you that you don't resonate to them. And the more and more you understand, now these are scientific practices now that are proving how we can impact somebody without physically touching them or even saying a word, just by the energy you put out. Your energy is very calming, and that's why Bubby picked up on it. His mother is probably, mm-hmm. you know, frayed in 20 different ways right now, and he's picking up mm-hmm. on her level of insecurity around him, confusion, fear, whatever she's feeling. He's picking up on that whole soup of energies, and it's just setting him off.
Yeah. Well, so he's registered in school. He starts school Monday. And while we're with the doctor, who's trying to, now doctors don't even look at you. They just sit at a little table that's in the room with a computer and just keep, you know, doing input in the computer. There's very little touching. There's very little eye contact. Even if you're a grown-up, that's the way the doctor's visit is. With Spike, I was like, I wonder if he would recognize Spike if he ran into him in the street. I don't think so, because I don't think he ever looked at his face, any of them for that matter. They walk in with a laptop, or there's one in the room, and that's what they go to immediately. So at any rate, that's what she was doing with Bubby. And while she's looking, she addresses me and says, they're not going to let this little boy stay in public school no matter what we put him on. He's going to end up going to a special school. But she didn't address Melissa. She didn't say that to Melissa. She said it to me, kind of like out of the side of her mouth. So I'm like, I already know that. But, you know, you have to go through the steps. And that's the hardest part, going through all those steps. I'm one of those kind of people who, let's just get to the gist of what's going on here. Let's just figure out what we're going to do to help him. Why are you making us go through all this other crap? Yes, he needed his shots. That was one thing. But the reason I was there is because the psychologist that has been seeing Bubby was supposed to meet us there and talk to us. She didn't show up. I mean, that's how important it was to her. She didn't even show up. So, again, remember probably about 5 years ago, we had a lot of conversations. We spent over a month. I was looking through some of my paperwork, talking about Asperger's and all the things about autism and learning disabilities and behavioral issues and everything. And we spent a lot of time on somebody that I know who now is, you know, 20 years old and still is struggling. Why? Because when he was like 10, they put him on, Adderall? That's the right one, girls?
Probably.
Adderall, the one that they chew. There's Ritalin, Adderall, and there's something else that I'm familiar with. It was Adderall. And one of his friends, when he was like 12, said, chew it. It makes you feel better really fast. So now he suffers from addiction, major addiction. So yep. We spent a long time talking about this kid. And this kid, who's handsome, has amazing presence and personality and could be, you know, and he can't be now because he's got all these other issues. So the family wanted me to fight for him to not go on Adderall or Ritalin. But, you know, I can't even keep Fruit Loops out of this boy's hands.
That's the problem.
He comes to my house and the minute he's in the house. I mean, I have all that stuff here because all these other kids can eat it and they're fine with it and they don't overdo it. But not this little boy, because now he craves the sugar because that helps him keep his zip up. And I mean, you can see the difference. You can see the difference. But learning wise, we finally taught him how to swim this summer. So I don't have to worry about him around the pool. And he really thought he couldn't. He'd scream, hold his breath, clench his fist. I mean, you know, and his mother can't even lift him anymore. That's how big he is. So I'm thinking about all these other things that I've seen and that I know. So what are the choices? He's going to go to school Monday. And the school, thank God, this is a relatively small neighborhood out here in West Palm Beach, the acreage and Loxahatchee. And the elementary school has had all of his two sisters and his brothers went to school there. So all the mm-hmm. teachers and the principal know them, and they've met Bubby, you know, like get recitals and stuff like that. They've met him. And they told his mom, we're prepared for him. So they're opening the doors to him. But we all know that's not going to last. Melissa's going to get a call the second day. Come get your kid. That's what she said to me Monday. She said, they're just going to call me and tell me to come get him every day unless I do something about this. So what are the choices? The choices are a special school, which, of course, there is no money for, so it would have to be something that's offered and funded by the powers that be, or homeschooling. Now, homeschooling they can't do because she's got to work. She has no husband. You know, that's a whole other story. And so what happens to these people? And we know these people. All three of us know somebody like this. In uh-huh. either friends or family or something. So the choices are limited. That's what bothers me the most. The choices are so limited. And yet, I read all these articles, you know, it's a world of addiction. Well, then why did you put my kid on that when he was three? If you know that
right.
now, why are you still doing that?
Right, right. Well, because the medical establishment is not keeping up with the research. Now, the book that I'm going to be speaking from today, the book by Dr. Raymond, has been out for over a decade. Why hasn't this caught on? With all the successes he's had, he's worked with the NFL players because many of them suffer severe brain damage just because
brain
of the game.
Brain damage, right.
You know,
right.
So and a lot of them, mm-hmm. because of their brain damage, became violent, you know, started abusing their wives. In fact, they were either having memory problems or they were having temper problems where they couldn't control their anger and they became abusive to their girlfriends or wives.
Mm-hmm.
And this became like
mm-hmm.
an epidemic in the NFL, you know. So here he's done all these studies. He's been very prominent. He's out and about. So why hasn't this caught on? Why isn't this the way all therapists, psychiatrists, and psychologists treat it, you know, treat ADHD, treat anxiety, depression, things like that. So I just want to read a page from the book. It says, Know Your Brain Type. And what's significant about this is what you're talking about with doctors just simply looking at a piece of paper, asking a few questions, and basing their recommendations on a chart, not understanding the full picture of the person. Not, you know, we are not our symptoms.
Right.
There's more going on. And that's the dysfunction of the psychiatric and the psychological establishment for most doctors. And this is what Dr. Raymond is trying to stop. Now, he's got hundreds of psychiatrists and psychologists that now practice his methods, but I think the predominant still do not. So he says here, one of the
mm-hmm.
first lessons we learned from our brain imaging work was that issues like ADD and ADHD, anxiety, depression, addictions, and even obesity, in fact, any psychiatric illness, are not single or simple disorders in the brain. They each have multiple types. Knowing this changed the whole game of diagnosis and treatment at Amen Clinics. No longer could I just go by a checklist of symptoms and hope to obtain a good outcome for my patients. I needed more information or I could inadvertently hurt them and certainly wouldn't be helping them. Here's an example. Cody was diagnosed with ADD at the age of 8. He struggled in school, homework took hours to do with lots of tears and fighting, and he had trouble getting along with peers. His pediatrician tried him on Adderall, but within a few days he was worse. He couldn't sleep, started obsessively picking his skin, and had explosive outbursts for the first time along with suicidal thoughts. When we saw Cody, it was clear he did not have a pattern associated with a good response to stimulants, which is what Adderall is. He had the opposite pattern, which I call the ring of fire ADD. with excessive activity in his brain. On the right treatments, he was calmer and more effective at school and in every other area of his life. I've written books about typing different issues in the brain, including healing ADD. So he has a whole book just on the subject. I don't have that. The book I'm doing is more general, where he kind of gives you an overview of all these different issues he studied, and that's the Change Your Brain, Change Your Body book. But he references two others in here called Healing ADD and Unchain Your Brain. So I'm considering getting those two books. I will briefly discuss the different types of ADD in this chapter. ADD actually has seven types. So think about that. Not one or two. There are seven types of ADD. Each has a unique protocol. So there's a chart in here that I'm going to read from in a minute. All right. Each of these seven types has a unique and different protocol from the other six. So if you go into an office and they just see, okay, he's got ADD, and they give you a treatment method at the doctor's office, you have a 1 in 7 chance that you're getting the right one if they don't do the complete thorough workups the way that Amen Clinics do. He said relevant to these disorders are three types of neurotransmitters, which is dopamine, which helps with focus, motivation, and getting things done. Serotonin, which is the don't worry, be happy chemical that helps with mood, sleep, and being flexible. And GABA, which helps to calm the brain. And a lot of them are GABA deficient, and that's why they're so hyperactive. So when I was reading through these, and we can discuss all of them, but the one that makes me think of Bubby is the type 4 ADD, which is called temporal lobe ADD. These people have the hallmark features of classic ADD, you know, it's the activity and everything, plus symptoms associated with temporal lobe dysfunction, such as issues with learning, memory, and temper outbursts. Chris had a long history of being hyperactive, impulsive, and aggressive. At 6, he was put on a stimulant medication, but it made him even more aggressive, and he started to hallucinate. At 8, another doctor tried him on an antidepressant, which also didn't work. By the time I saw him, he had been in family therapy for years, but the therapist blamed his mother for being a big part of Chris's problem. His mother was very frustrated because she had no idea how to help her son. I finally saw Chris after he attacked another boy at school with a knife. This is at 8 years old. When he was 12. His SPECT study showed a dangerous combination of low activity in his left temporal lobe, an area often associated with violence, and low activity in his prefrontal cortex, which would explain the decrease in impulse control. So he literally had no control over his violent tendencies or violent thoughts. The ideal treatment for temporal lobe ADD are supplements or medications that boost GABA to stabilize the temporal lobes, in addition to something like green tea to boost dopamine, which will help with focus in that order. Now listen to this. If you get the order wrong, you can do harm because the brain will not properly balance itself. This is part of the reason why knowing the type is so important. A higher protein and healthy fat diet can also help along with temporal lobe prescriptions. So he's got a whole chapter in here about temporal lobe disorders. And he's saying that when you have ADD with violent outbursts, it's this particular one. It's called temporal lobe ADD because the other types don't have violence included in them. This is the one where the left temporal lobe has diminished activity. It could be from a cyst, it could be from a tumor, or it could just be from that he's had illnesses and things like that. All of these types of things can cause temporal lobe dysfunction or low activity. The high protein diet, under the supplements for temporal lobe, he's got GABA, B6, magnesium for calming, acetylcarnitine, ginkgo for memory, plus EPA fish oil. So he's got a bunch of stuff in here specifically for temporal lobe ADD that help to calm the brain. It also helps them focus better. But he does not suggest Adderall or anything like that for people that have temporal lobe ADD because it actually makes them more violent. I And under the medications, he only suggests Lamictal, which is an anticonvulsant, or Aricept. He said he doesn't. He says never use any of the Adderalls or anything that's a stimulant on somebody that's already having violent tendencies because it makes them worse, and then it can also make them suicidal.
Well, like I said, he's got many extenuating circumstances. One of them that is a big thing, and I'm considering getting involved in this, and perhaps even at some point in time trying to find a lawyer who would like to talk about this. But when he got MRSA-infected spinal meningitis when he was one, I don't know how high his temperature was, but I had him on my chest, and he was red. He was so hot, and holding him was like holding something that had just come out of the oven. And I think that some of this damage incurred when all of that happened to him, because for 10 days he was almost comatose and on IVs and God knows what kind of stuff they gave him then. But all of that
lends
to the behavioral problem that he was already probably exhibiting a little bit.
What I would recommend for you to do, because you can go on the Dr. Amen site, your story with Bubby is very complicated, and also because of family dynamics and lack of insurance and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I would go on the Dr. Amen site under Contact Us, and I would send him an email, say that you know, you're on a radio show, we talk about his book all the time, we think that his information is incredible. However, you don't see the way that your family can take advantage of his knowledge. Is there any way that he could help your family in any way? Does he know of a clinic nearby where they might sponsor, a brain scan for him or something like that? Give him the backstory.
Right.
Tell him that we're on a radio show. We talk about his book all the time. And this is Bubby's story. Because he's done so many of these, he may read Bubby's story and already have helped children that went through a similar series and say, I know exactly what to do for
the
child.
That's a great idea.
Or he may offer the ability to get him. Yep. And I would like to see what comes of that.
I got no problem doing that.
He may want to do a case study with Bubby.
Right. At least he would get some kind of attention. You know, because it's hard to love him. You understand, but you do.
Yep.
I mean, I do. I speak only for Renee. I do because someplace in there, I mean, like he will say to me when he's just here by himself, maybe with Papa, that's my son Michael, and Papa makes him mind pretty good, and he'll be being really good and doesn't have any other kids to contend with for attention. He'll come over to me and say things like, this is going to get you upset. And I say, what? And he goes, I have to leave. Are you going to kiss me all over? That's who he can be. He can be that sweet little boy, you know. But then he can be that other child that's like, you know, it's like Jekyll and Hyde. And if you've never seen anything like this in real life, it's truly traumatic on everybody involved. Everybody involved. And if you suffer with this in your family, my heart goes out to you, and I hope you have been successful in finding some help. But that's a good idea, Shelley. I will get on that site and write something and let him know exactly what's going on here. And I'll try. First, I'll make myself, like an outline of all the different things that have happened to him. And maybe there is something out there. But the fact of the matter is that kids every day, every minute of every day, are being put on Adderall or Ritalin or whatever the pick of the day is, and it changes their whole life. They never are who they were born to be ever again.
Right.
That's a big deal. That's really a big deal. And I know that we all believe in the diet. And if you pick up, I mentioned Fruit Loops earlier, you pick up Fruit Loops, and I always tell everybody, if there's a bunch of words that you can't say and you have no idea what they mean, they're chemicals of some kind. So,
yep.
You know, somebody whose immune system is already, you know, deficient and they already have all these behavioral issues shouldn't be eating anything like that. He should be eating stuff. Let him grow up on carrots and green beans out of the garden. So, you know, it's just, it can be that simple, but it will not fix it. I don't believe it will fix it. I would like to believe that, but I don't believe that. I think there has to be somebody like Dr. Amen in the background. Now, Monica?
Yes?
Let's hear your input, because then I have another issue to discuss, and I want to get feedback on that, too, something else that's happening in the family. That's why I can do a radio show, because I never have a dull moment.
Yeah. I'm totally on the nutrition and food aspect of it. Lots of good fats. He's got candida for sure. I mean, candida in the gut will lower his serotonin. All those hormones and natural chemicals that we produce for our brain starts in the gut. And it's probably loaded with toxins, and his liver is congested, and he cannot get rid of those things on his own because he keeps eating crap, you know, garbage food. So that's a big thing. I mean, if it's got to be grass-fed meats and nothing else, and very small portions of that. And mostly, you know, vegetables, and stay away from sugars. But when you got a kid flying off the wall, and you're a parent, and you got to go to work, you know, it's hard. And that's why most kids wind up on drugs. And yes, if you're a kid, and you're given these chemicals, these drugs, it changes your brain, and you will turn into a drug addict because that's all you've known since you were 3 and 4 years old. And by the time you're 15, 16, and they say, okay, well, you're off of these pediatric so-called drugs, you know, they're going to go out looking for their high because they're addicted. Their
that's
brain
right.
chemicals have changed. So It's a hard thing. I mean, and you're right. He will get kicked out of school, you know, and the only thing for him is homeschool. But the mom can't do it because she has to work. Or she homeschools him at night when she comes home and he goes to a babysitter or some sort of a child care center during the day and then take all the crap out of the house, the food crap, the preservatives. Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah,
very hard.
It's a job in and of itself. And and again, there's only certain people that are born caregivers, and not all moms are born caregivers just because they're a mom. And it is what it is. But you know, I think that the only opportunity to get him to have any kind of normal life is to do what you just mentioned, something along those lines. Although we're all open to trying. I mean, maybe he will meet a teacher. That's awesome. I mean, some kids do. Some kids meet somebody who is, you know, just has a link to them somehow and can bring them to another side. And, you know, for right now, that's probably what we're all wishing for, quietly wishing for it. But, you know, maybe it will happen, maybe it will not. But the long-term story is to get some more help, absolutely. So, but again, the reason I really wanted to do the show is because it's not just Bubby. It's thousands of other kids that are in this same place and families that are struggling with all these same dilemmas. And there needs to be some other answers other than what we have out there right now. So, you know, there's a lot of people doing a lot of different things to help. And I think we just need to keep talking about it. And the more we talk about everything, the better it seems to get. So, but it isn't easy. I spent time with somebody last night who has an adult son who has been diagnosed with some life-threatening issues. And he still drinks and he still does drugs. And they had a knockdown dragout, the mother and the son. And I made a call and said, I'm here. And, of course, she can't even talk yet. And she's beside herself and she feels like a piece of crap. And I said, you're going to have to let go of that because you didn't have any choices. And this wasn't your decision to have this happen. It was his. So, and this is another story of just that, of having a few behavioral problems when he was young, being put on different things. And now, you know, he can't clean up his act. He just can't. So it's a lifelong story. It's not something that is over and done with after a kid grows up, very sadly. It doesn't change anything. It just gets bigger problems. So now my second half of today is very scary, and I'm sharing it with you two girls because I have so much respect for the things that you've both taught yourself and the things that you know. I have a nephew who is almost 30 years old, and 2 years ago he had a big upset. He got an infection in his lungs. They had to do surgery. They had to empty his lungs. I talked about him then on the show when all that happened to him. Well, I get a call the other day. He's been bit by something on his leg. He's on his fourth day in the hospital. They think it was some kind of a spider bite. It's on the back of his calf in his muscle. It started something. I mean, he's a big guy, so his legs are big. And it was probably 4 inches by 5 inches circumference kind of a deal on the back of his calf in his muscle. Now, this is, I want to say that this might even be day 5 that he's there. It's so inflamed that it's eating, the infection is eating his muscle. They, they've been putting antibiotics in him on a regular basis, but it just keeps growing, and they're afraid to lance it because they're afraid they're going to send it all over the place, and God knows what will happen once they make an open wound. Right now, it's bite size, it's pin size, but the picture she sent me this morning is outrageous, outrageous, and the color of it is no longer red. It's more like a crimson, like a deep, deep red, and the leg is so swollen, and he's in terrible pain, and they brought in all kinds of specialists, and nobody has any could have been a brown recluse, could have been a black widow,
yeah.
Nobody knows. And
wow.
they took some of the stuff, the gunk out of it, because it was draining through that little tiny pinhole or bite hole, whatever you want to call it. And they've got I don't know what the terminology is for the doctor, pathologist or somebody is looking at it, trying to decide exactly what kind of poison it is, and so far no answers. Hot packs they're doing, but they're afraid to open it. That may happen today because now his muscle is being affected. Any experience with this, girls?
Well, the only two things I can think of are wheatgrass poultice, because that acts as a drawing agent. Plus, it nourishes. It kills infection. It nourishes the area, and it acts as a drawing agent all at the same time. Or what Monica's been talking about. If what Nina's been explaining to me is accurate, urine rubs. I mean, but he's in a hospital. I don't think they're going to do it in a hospital.
Yeah,
but there are clinics to do urine rubs. A urine rub would actually pull the infection out and help the muscle to restore itself because of the T cells in it.
Right. But it's not a rub. He'd have to have a pack. It would have to be packed on there. But he's in a hospital, so they're not going to do it.
Right.
They're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he doesn't know nothing about it, so he's not going to do it. He'll just think anybody who mentions it is nuts. So, I mean, he's an adult, you know. So, yeah, urine would fix it, but because of the stem cells that are in it, but because it's a stem cell therapy.
Right.
But he's not going to do that, so.
Well, let me ask a couple pertinent questions in regard to that. By now, there has to be a lot more poison in him than there was in the beginning. I mean, you never know what's going on inside a body unless you actually, have one of those wonderful things that we've seen movies about that can show you everything. So let me ask this question. If I were to discuss this with him, and his girlfriend is a lot more open-minded than his mother or him, and I could maybe start with her, but would something happen to his urine now between all the antibiotics and this infection overall? Wouldn't that play into this or no?
No, you could still do urine therapy. All he'd need is 4 drops under his tongue would start the show. And it would start killing that bacteria.
Yeah,
or
and his urine would be all right to
toxins.
Do that?
Yes.
It would be all right for him to do that with his urine under the stress that it's under right now?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Because it doesn't reduce, just because he's on major antibiotics, he's probably on Cipro and all this other crap, it doesn't matter. Toxins go out the rear end. The good stuff is in the front, in the urine. The stuff that will save you is in your urine. Okay, here's a quick story. My son, my oldest son, was in the hospital because he had a bowel obstruction. Okay, and after like 4 days, they said, if this doesn't clear, and they were doing everything they could to get it to clear, you could see it in his stomach. I mean, it was totally distended, and he's a slim guy. And if it doesn't clear, we're going in, we're doing surgery. And I was so afraid of that because then they start cutting up your intestines, your heck no. So I'm there visiting him. He had a duck, what I call a duck. It's a male urinal sitting on the counter on the little bedside table. He was drinking water, you know, all day trying to get things to move, you know, and he's in all kinds of pain because they only give you pain meds every so often. So he goes into the bathroom to go to the bathroom. I took some of that pee in his duct, in the male urinal, and I put it in his water, just not even a half a teaspoon. And when he comes out, he didn't know no different. He comes out, he's still drinking his water. The next day, he passed that obstruction, that poop and all that stuff. It was gone. They released him. No surgery, no nothing. I never told him that. I never would ever tell him what I did. But I did it, and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So,
wow.
And he was on all kinds of stuff. They had everything, you know, going into him, you know, to get rid of that obstruction. And because it was sitting in the same place, they were giving him antibiotics and all kinds of garbage. Yeah, it didn't matter. Mm. Just, a half a teaspoon, whatever I poured in there. I didn't want it to turn yellow because it was concentrated.
Right.
You know, it didn't matter. It worked.
Wow,
so,
that's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great thing to share. People always look for that. You know, when you're trying to, I mean, that's the biggest part of the Hippocrates magazine, is when we would put out, you know, the stories of people who were successful in their journey. And that's what sold Hippocrates more than any other one thing that we did, was people hearing stories of success. And that's a big one. And, I'm going there today. to see him, and I will take Shelley aside and talk to her privately. I won't include the rest of the family because I know how I'm going to be met with that. But Shelley,
yeah.
like I said, is a little bit more open-minded, and there's a possibility that I could convince her that certainly is worth a try. I mean, they're supposed to get married in November, and now this has happened to him. So
if he's bedridden, which I'm sure he is, he's not up and walking because he's in a lot of pain.
Right.
He's got a male urinal someplace sitting right there, and unless they've got him on a catheter. If he's on a catheter, that's a problem. But if he's if he's peeing on his own, I wouldn't even tell him. I wouldn't even tell anybody.
I'm going to mention that
just
to her not tell anybody but her and I. Yeah, not
and
his mother, not his brother, nobody.
Just take a little bit, put it in a bottled water, and say, here, drink this. It's vitamins and minerals, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that is like, you know, if it's family, like I knew what it could do for my son, and I was hopeful that that would be enough to clear it, and it did, you know. And but no, I didn't. I haven't told anybody but you guys.
And now all our listeners.
Well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, but that's a great story, and with all the books that my sister's reading. Because that was one of my things when she first started telling me about this, when I mentioned it to her, but my sister is much more open to things that might be more non-stream than just changing your diet and stuff like that. I still have a hard time with some of the more non-mainstream stuff, you know. But my sister just watched it. So when I mentioned to her what you were talking about, she jumped right in and started researching it. And the books she's read, they have a lot of stories like that. And I said, well, wait a minute, you can't use the urine if the person's sick. And she said, oh, no. She said, because the body is manufacturing what you need to heal that thing. It's like the body says, okay, this is what's wrong. Here is the remedy. And when you pee out, the remedy for whatever that is in the pee. And it didn't make sense to me when she first explained it to me, but then she explained to me a couple of stories, especially with little children that were in the hospital, and the hospital was, the child was like ready to die, so the parents, without the hospital knowing, started giving the child their own pee, and well, like you said, within 24 hours, this little child that the hospital said wasn't going to make it another 48 hours was released 10 o'clock the next morning, just because the parents started giving the child their own pee when the doctors weren't looking, you know. But it's and in other places, like outside of the United States, they still have clinics that do this. They still have urine clinics, but they don't have any in the United States. Go figure.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I've read that part of it too. I've seen where, well, in ancient times, they did all of this stuff as well, because they just didn't have the same things to work with. We've advanced, but instead it's taken away from nature and been more man-made, which I think works against us. So
I
will talk to Shelley today, and we'll see where I get with that. I'm not going to do that, so everybody understands. I'm not going to play that person and do that on my own. If he were my son or my husband or somebody like that, and I took total responsibility, I would do that.
Right.
But like Monica did, but Nick is another story. So, but I do think at this point in time, anything's worth a shot, because it's getting kind of scary. The pictures she sent me today gave me like a crush in my stomach. I mean, it's awful. And it could be a brown recluse, or it could be a black widow, in both of them. And he doesn't live a good lifestyle, so already his body is under some duress. So I don't know. I think that it would be worth a try for them. But I will talk to Shelley and they're very close, and she's pretty open-minded, so we'll see what happens. We'll see how that goes. And as far as Bubby is concerned, I will do that. I will get on. I mean, I've already gone to Dr. Amen's site and read some of his things, and I've watched a couple of his lectures on YouTube, and I think he's amazing, and I think he's probably way ahead of his time. That's why he's not being welcomed with open arms, because he scares too many people, because when we take away from pharma, you know, we take a lot of dinner off a lot of tables. We, the three of us, get that already. So that's a part of why some of this kind of stuff doesn't work. On another note, I want to pay a little bit of respect to a lady that I've known since I was like 7 years old. Her son married my sister. He and I went to school together, and she succumbed yesterday morning at, I want to say she was probably 97 now. And I've talked about her before on the show. Her name was Gladys, and was one of the, she was one of the most special people I've ever known in my whole life. And I never want, she was like all of like maybe 4'11". And her and her husband, George, were both tiny people. I always, they were cute. You know what I mean? I mean, they were my elders, but they were just so cute and so nice. And George and I have stayed friends. He and my sister separated years ago, but we have always stayed friends. And, of course, I have a niece and a nephew and some great nephews and a niece from that union. But Gladys is the kind of woman who for more than 30 years, she was the secretary to the dean at Ithaca College all of her life. That was her career. But I never knew her to not be taking care of other people, ever. And one of my favorite stories about her was she would get up every morning at 5 o'clock when she worked, and until not very long ago, her friend, they grew up together, they were girlfriends together in grade school, and she lost her sight. So as she got older, she told Gladys that that's what she missed, being able to read the Ithaca Journal, the paper about neighbors and friends. It's a small, relatively small town, you know. And so Gladys would get up every morning at 5 o'clock and get on the phone with this blind friend and read her the Ithaca Journal from cover to cover. And when I found out she was doing that, she'd already been doing it for many, many years, you know. And I said, "You do what?" And she told me again, and I said, "Oh, my God." I said, "And you never stop?" And she said, "Never. She depends on me calling her at 5 o'clock. And when she retired, she walked every day downtown, which was probably half a mile up and half a mile back, and worked for all the places that sold used clothing and stuff like that for free. I just never met anybody like her. I just never did. Everybody, I mean, I have lots of good people. You two are amazing people. But this lady, and she loved my sister like she was her own. And my sister was not easy to love. And she loved my sister and stuck by her no matter. She and George didn't even stay married. And Gladys looked out for my sister all the time. So she passed in her sleep, which I think was a blessing. And I called Tim, my nephew. He's the one who called me. And we talked for a long time, and it was emotional and everything. But then I called George, my friend, her son. And he said, "Yep, Mom loved you too." And I said, "I will never forget her making grilled cheese sandwiches with grape jelly on top." And I'd never seen anything like that in my life. And he laughed and he said, "Only you would remember that about Mom." And I said, "I'm sure other people remember it too." But, you know, when you meet somebody like that who lives their life like that, you know, they never get enough recognition because they don't care about it. So I just wanted to mention her again today. And like I said, we've talked about her before. And of course, Shelley knows about her because I'm sure I've shared Gladys stories with Shelley in the past, not on the show. So, but she was just a wonderful, wonderful lady, and I think her grandchildren are probably, I haven't talked to them because they are all on vacation right now, but I will be talking to them. So I'm sure God is happy to have her on board. So anybody else got anything going on? Do you think there's anything we need to add to Bubby's story? I'm going to follow through on this, and I'm also going to get a lawyer, I think. The more we've talked about it today, the more I've resigned myself, and if I don't, it won't get done. So I'm going to see if I can contact a lawyer and see if we have any kind of a case. At least then we could have enough money to get him the kind of help he needs, you know?
Right. The only thing I would recommend is that when you do send the email into the, or however you end up contacting the Amen Clinic, is just to start out in the beginning that you are the host of Renee's Heart to Heart Blog Talk Radio, just to get their attention that you're somebody that speaks to other people about topics, and then let them know that mm-hmm. you are asking for help. Say, and I need your help with my my grandchild, my great grandchild. Tell them a little bit in the beginning, and then say, you know, just briefly, blah blah blah, and the details will follow. This way, you can get the heart of what you're asking out to begin with, and then give them the chronology of how everything happened at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I think you stand
okay.
more of a chance of them actually reading it and then going through the details instead of putting a chronology up front there, and they still don't know what you're, you know, so
right.
tell, you know, let them know what you're asking for first, then give them the details. That's how I would do it.
Mhm. Mhm. Excuse me. That's what I will do, and I will also keep you both posted on what happens with Shelley today when I talk to her. And see how she feels about this. Of course, a lot of her answer will have to do with what kind of news we get today, I would imagine. But I will
right.
keep you both posted on that as well. And I my mind is still open to that, but my aversions still exist, my own personal hang-ups. But I've read some more, and I've researched a little bit more. And I mean, you know, you can only poo-poo something so many times after you see results. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at now. And I appreciate Monica bringing to us and the research that Shelley has done in regard to it. So I think it's something worth looking into. So if you're listening to the show now and you're struggling with some of these things, my advice is to research yourself. If you are
mm-hmm.
on the line. And it's going to make the difference between life or death, number one, or health or no health, or your own personal happiness, then I think you ought to address that, because that's your job and no one else's. So God bless everybody. We've still got a couple minutes left. Do either of you girls want to say anything in about the show or about anything else we talked about today?
The only thing I could think of mentioning real quick is that you said, you know, research things for yourself. But I think it was Monica who had mentioned don't research anything on Google anymore, because a lot of the holistic mm-hmm. Topics and things like that you can't get to anymore. With the way they change the algorithms now, only the medical sites come up and stuff like that. You'd have to really search and search and search.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So I think he'd mentioned mm-hmm. Go to DuckDuckGo to do your searches
mm-hmm.
because they don't have those same type of algorithms and filters that prevent the holistic information from coming up.
Mhm. Mhm. Good advice. I forgot about that. Yes, DuckDuckGo. I've got it right here on top of my ink pad on my desk. Okay. Well, thank you, girls, and we'll be back on Friday. I'm hoping to have Sean and Jody, or at least Sean, on the show soon and talk about wheatgrass.
Awesome.
And sprouts and all of the good stuff. They've built a hell of a business. They're doing really, really well, and they're two of the best people I've ever known. So
yep.
I look forward to having them on the show. So God bless everybody. Have a great day, and try to stay out of trouble the rest of the week.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank
God
you.
Bless everyone.
Have a great day.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.